This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about anger and rage. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. You can spend hours online watching videos of customers freaking out, throwing food at restaurant employees, screaming at cashiers, or threatening flight attendants.
Shut your mouth! You're not God or my father or my boss! Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not standing, pal!
Okay, stop it!
If you're working in customer service or in the restaurant industry, dealing with angry people is often part of the job. This got worse during the pandemic when customer service people had to enforce rules about masking and social distancing. Some businesses offer training on how to de-escalate conflict. But does this work? Alan Yu looked into it.
Amy Ward is no stranger to difficult situations. She spent more than 20 years working in the hospitality industry. She's been a dishwasher, a barista, a server, and a bartender. Now she trains hospitality staff on de-escalation techniques. She says people who work in restaurants and bars have to face angry customers every day. When things get heated, she says it's important for workers to stay calm, know where the exits are, stand to the side of the angry customer, and just listen.
Tilt their head so they can listen a little bit more. Nod their head in agreement. If somebody is upset and like, yeah, it's a really long time, that sounds like it sucks.
And she also teaches workers that sometimes they have to speak up for themselves assertively.
Sometimes that means speaking in a more authoritative voice. I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Rather than smiley, bubbly, and like, yeah, that sounds like it sucks. You're going to have to leave, though. Like, nobody's going to take me seriously if I sound like that. It's a change in tone.
She says what they teach in these training sessions come from a mix of experience, self-defense principles, and psychology. It's part of a nonprofit organization she runs called Safe Bars. And they also try to personalize the training for the specific restaurant or bar or business.
Basically give people enough options so that they can choose appropriately for whatever the situation is.
Curtis McMillan was looking for this kind of training and advice back in the 1980s when he took care of patients at a psychiatric hospital.
There would typically be a patient who was agitated and they're pacing around the room and they're loud.
Curtis did not quite know what to do, and he did not want to agitate the patient further.
And I'd sit on the ground and they'd be pacing around and I'd be sitting on the ground. But my idea of sitting on the ground was that was the least threatening posture that I could take.
He said it worked, but he was just acting on a hunch. He really wanted solid recommendations based on evidence that he could use. He had the same problem at his next job, working with foster parents who had trouble calming down their children when they got upset.
We didn't really have good recommendations. They wanted some sort of magic things to say, and we didn't have magic things to say.
This problem stayed with him over the years. There did not seem to be any good evidence in terms of what works and what doesn't to calm people down. Curtis became a professor of social work at University of Chicago, and he decided to study de-escalation. First, he and some collaborators looked up all the different strategies they could find. There were some unusual ones.
Some of them are like, offer a soda. You're a human being and you're treating them like another human being. Another one was offer to pray with the person. The justification on the article was pretty clever, which was that if you're a prayerful person, you calm yourself down in order to pray.
But by and large, de-escalation experts and people in customer service industries had settled on some common themes when it comes to what to do. And it's along the lines of what Amy and Safe Bars teaches. Stay calm and confident. Don't corner people. Try to understand why someone is upset. Try to solve the problem together.
The most interesting thing about the de-escalation literature is that there's a ton of recommendations and some consensus around the recommendations, but almost no research.
Curtis decided to design an experiment. A few years ago, he tested one common bit of advice that de-escalation experts give: validate what the upset person is saying. He and his team gathered some study participants online and measured their baseline, how good they are at regulating their emotions. Then participants listened to a story that could make them upset.
It feels good to have money in the bank. After years of working hard, you finally paid down your credit cards.
They're out for lunch with a friend after putting money in their bank account. Their card is declined.
Your friend hands the server a card to pay for the meal. Your friend asks if you're in trouble with money again. No, I'm not. You say, I'm good. I'll pay you back.
They find out there are charges on the credit card that they did not make. They get on the phone with their bank, enter their account number, but keep having to enter it again and again.
Please enter your debit card or account number followed by the pound key.
Again? I've already entered it twice. But you enter it again.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Please enter your debit card or account number followed by the pound key.
After a few minutes of entering the account number, going through every purchase they've put on their credit card recently, and answering security questions, they get through to a real person at the bank. Then some study participants heard this message.
Our automated system is pretty straightforward. You must not have followed the directions.
Others heard this one.
I would like to help you, but first, I need you to speak slower and lower your voice.
And others heard this one, validating the experience.
Oh, that is so frustrating. Our system clearly was not working at an appropriate level, and you had to suffer through it while you were already worried about someone using your debit card and racking up charges. I probably would have hung up the phone. It was good of you to hang in there and stay on the line.
Would people feel more or less calm depending on which message they heard? For people who came into the study already being better at regulating their emotions, the message that validated their experience did calm them down. But for participants who have trouble regulating their emotions, the de-escalation did not work. So, in other words, the validation only calmed down the people who were better at staying calm anyway. But it did not do anything for the people who would be more likely to get angry.
So it was kind of the opposite of what we had hoped.
And then Curtis ran the experiment again, but this time it was inconclusive. He has yet to publish the findings. So the research still does not point to anything that people can say to de-escalate the situation. Curtis says he's about at the end of his academic career. And he says even if someone else wanted to keep pursuing this research question, they have one thing working against them.
One of the reasons why the research has not accumulated in this area, despite lots of interest, is that it's unethical to make somebody super upset so you can try out different de-escalation strategies with them.
And so, in the meantime, he says there are still experts and organizations who will train people on how to de-escalate conflict. But people will have to more or less take their word for it that it works.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.